The PR industry is rapidly evolving. With a dramatically changed media environment, new technologies everywhere, the importance of data, and a blurring of the marketing disciplines, it's hard to know where to focus to build your agency and grow your business. We're looking ahead and helping agencies capitalize on the opportunities of today and tomorrow. We're the PR Council, and this is the Agencies of the Future podcast.
Welcome to the Agencies of the Future podcast. My name is Kim Sample, and I'm the president of the PR Council. Every week, I have the pleasure of sitting down with a different agency leader and learning how they are building their agency for the future. This week, my guest is Lisa Hannum. She's the CEO of Beehive Strategic Communications. Lisa, thank you so much for joining today.
Well, thanks for having me, Kim. I'm happy to be here.
So let's dig in. Let's talk about your firm. When did you start? What made you open your own firm? Such an exciting thing.
Well, every career interest inventory that I've ever done dating back to high school, I had this really strong entrepreneurial future. But I worked for about a dozen years in the public relations industry before I founded Beehive. And that shift came when I found myself as a first-time mom. So that was back in 1998. And at that time, we were just starting to get smarter about work-life balance, I think, in agencies. And I wasn't able to negotiate a return to work schedule at my current agency that I thought was going to work for my family. So I decided to activate that entrepreneurial spirit. And 2 months after my first daughter was born, Beehive was born.
Oh, that's awesome. Necessity is the mother of invention, right?
Amen.
Although I'm thinking about 2 months after childbirth, and I would not have been able to start my own agency. I think I could barely hold it all together and maybe show up at the agency where I work. So that's
super awesome. I was working from home, which was helpful, right?
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
So what's behind the name? I'm sure you get asked this quite a bit, but it's such a great name.
Well, thank you. So our company's purpose is using the power of communication to build better businesses and a better world. So I truly believe in my soul that strong, clear, authentic communication is the most powerful differentiator for any company, inside the company with your employees and outside the company in the marketplace. So kind of working from that platform, in the natural world, beehives are the most sophisticated communication environments on the planet. So they're complex, but they're super collaborative, they're focused, they're productive, and they're really harmonious. So we think beehives are a great model for modern workplace cultures. And that's really how the name came to be.
I feel like you're so ahead on everything. Like I don't even think bees were nearly as popular that long ago. And there you were capitalizing on it.
Well, back in 1998, when people would say, oh, I get it. It's buzz. Like,
you know, you're like, no.
No, it's not. But it's a great story to tell. And I especially love a story when it's true.
That's great. So I love that you call the workplace the hive, of course. What are some of the unique aspects of the culture you've built at the hive? And maybe you didn't even build it. Maybe it's each employee is contributing to it. But what is the culture?
Well, every employee does contribute to it, but it's also very, very intentional. So so thank you. The Hive, what makes that name of our space so special is that that's actually what our clients branded it. So when they would come and spend time here, they would really describe this vibe of, you know, it's always humming, it's so collaborative, it's energized and positive, and it just felt good to them. And while we knew that that was very intentional, they were like, it's just like kind of being in a hive. So no higher compliment than to have people visiting your space and working in your space sort of, you know, give it that name. So it has become the hive, which people really enjoy. So in terms of the culture, that is probably the most significant aspect of our company. And it's crucial for both talent recruitment and retention, but also it's how we deliver the work for clients. And so our foundation for our culture is really centered on a number of different things. And it's the same sort of core elements that really any modern workplace culture should be focused on. So we're very clear on our purpose and our values. Values today, as you know, expectations are rising for every one of us. We want to work for work with and buy from brands that believe what we believe and act accordingly. That last part is what's really, really shifted. So we really focus on building a culture based on values that centers in around well-being, flexibility in terms of work schedules and work locations, personal and professional growth and development. And then we do a lot of work around appreciation. So those are really the five core elements of any modern workplace culture. So that's what we focus on. Our biggest area and the one that we're probably most known for is our well-being program. So naturally we call that the Be Well program because how could you not? And we do a number of different things. So our environment is really designed to create that sort of high feeling, positive, energized. The space is all kind of created on the feng shui bagua because why not, right? it made a good roadmap for what to do. But we do a number of things. So we have daily practices that we coach and train our team on. We do kind of all in moments. Right now, we're doing a 30-day mindfulness challenge. And if we do enough sessions individually, we will collectively earn, of course, we love to earn prizes and we're very competitive. but then we'll also make a donation to kind of the team's nonprofit of its choosing. So under health and wellness, we also give each one of our employees a $1,000 wellness budget every year to help support their physical, emotional, and mental health. How they spend those dollars is up to them. The only rule is that you have to share back with the team what you decided to invest in and how it's helping you with your health and wellness foundation. So it could be a fitness tracker, nutritional supplements, class passes, essential oils. We have somebody that was having trouble sleeping. She researched the market and bought this amazing weighted blanket that's really helping her sleep better. So we do all kinds of things like that. So we've got a gym in our office. We do a number of different things that are all designed to really support those five core elements that are just part of being a good, effective modern workplace culture.
That's so cool. I mean, having a policy where you're giving people that kind of investment in their personal well-being, but then having the discipline to get people to share it, which inspires other people, but just reinforces that important component. That's so great. I think so many agencies fall down on the discipline of sharing and talking about it.
I'll say that the sharing of it has really helped my holiday shopping because I learned so much from 15 other people getting in there with that hive mind. Right? And it was like, oh, I could get three of those weighted blankets. So it's been super, super useful. And I think that everybody, you know, people in our industry just are innately curious. And so it taps that curiosity. It doesn't matter if it's about health and well-being, if it's an industry we're working in, if it's a, you know, a new tool or resource, we're curious. So we create all kinds of opportunities to share in a really open, positive way. No judgment. So just lots and lots of curiosity. And we think it's really healthy.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Well, we are so proud to have you as a member of the council for many, many reasons. But one of the things we love is that you have a B Corp certification. So Will you explain to our listeners what that is and why you decided to pursue that?
You bet. So B Corp certification is issued by an organization called the B Lab. And so certified B Corps are businesses, generally for-profit, but also nonprofit, that meet the highest standards of verified social and environmental performance, public transparency, and a legal accountability for balancing profit and purpose. So what we're really talking about is that we do a lot of public reporting on what we're doing in all of the key areas that measure social, environmental, community impact, worker impact, governance impact. And we have to report on that. We report to B Corp every year, and we have to be recertified every 3 years. So Wow. It is, right, it is not for the faint of heart. it is a very, very deep certification process. But what we found really interesting when we started on this journey, Kim, which was in 2017, we really started to look at and say, you know, when we look at what's happening in the world around us, kind of these universal dynamics, these macro trends that are affecting every company on the planet. We really looked and said, you know we do a lot of things well, like most of our agency colleagues do, but we also knew we could do better. So what we started to do was really put ourselves into the B Corp assessment to see where we could start to fine-tune and improve some of our practices related to those five core tenets. And as we started to do that, we started to implement new policies, change the way we had been working. We thought that we really had good flexible work arrangements, but we really had about three stated work arrangements for our team. And so by going through the B Corp process, we now have seven clearly articulated, clearly stated work arrangements for our team. So it took the foundation that we had been building and it really brought it to the next level. So it took us about a full year to become certified. And I'll tell you that right now there's about 12,000 companies who are somewhere in the certification process, and there'll be a small percentage of those that will complete in the next year, and there'll be a large percentage that either will, you know, continue to work on their journey or they will abandon because they've made the decision that they can be a purpose company. Every company can have a purpose, but baking purpose into your operating platform is a more challenging bar for some organizations. So as agencies, I think what's really exciting is most of us don't bring huge manufacturing footprints, right? That's a real challenge for some organizations that are considering B Corp certification because the environmental standards are very, very high. So if you really look at kind of those barriers that might kind of make you back away as a company, I think agencies are in a great position to go forward with it because there's a lot about our models that we can be compliant with, we can do better. And I think we all agree we're in a time that our agencies and our client businesses, we all have to be in the business of doing better.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I love like setting such a huge goal and working toward it. And I now have more of an appreciation for how difficult it is to obtain, but it's just so awesome. I do really wish more agencies would do it. Talk a little bit about the benefits from both sort of an employee standpoint and a client standpoint. Are you seeing real returns on the time you've invested in securing this?
You know, we look at our scorecard, our results scorecard as a business. And so we don't look at it one for one, Kim, and say, you know, it's like any sort of, I think, certification standard, you know, whether you're thinking about, do I become APR or, you know, do I pursue B Corp or anything that has some rigor and discipline to it. What we really have to do is take the long view. And so we've had a company scorecard for, you know, 10 years where we have really focused in on things like very, you know, common metrics, I would say, for any business, but certainly for agencies. So it would be how successful are we at attracting talent? How successful are we at retaining talent? Do we have year-over-year revenue growth? Are we hitting our targets? What about client attraction and client retention? What about PTO? Are people using their PTO, their time off days, to enjoy, to grow, to travel, or are they taking the sick days? So we measure, you know, the decline in sick days, which of course then translates into productive days, and people being able to really enjoy that time that they have away from the office. So we look at a number of business metrics in that regard. I have to tell you that our metrics just get stronger and stronger every single year, including business growth. So when we look at it so holistically, it's not just something we do, it is who we are. And I think that that's really, really key to any organization, agency or client, if they're thinking about what do I do to solve the biggest challenges that I'm facing today and that I know are coming. Talent, one of the top challenges that we all face, and I know that that's not unique to our industry, it's not unique to our geographic market, but it's very, very real. And so everything that we're able to measure we can track back to our commitment to living as a purpose-driven organization.
That's awesome. So your employees, do you think that that's bringing them to the firm, or is it just one more piece of what makes Beehive a great place to work?
Well, I certainly think being able to say that we are B Corp certified, and that, you know, magically, I'm not sure how this happened in our first year, but this year we were named by B Lab globally as best for the world in workers.
Wow, that's incredible.
It means that our company scored among the highest globally in terms of the worker category. So when we're able to lead with that message and then explain what sits below that, this is not a vanity award. This is being able to live a commitment that says that we agree that we will pay all of our employees at or above 95% of industry benchmark salaries. And I believe through the PR Council, we have some of the best benchmarking data in terms of salary and benefits that we've ever had as an industry. So we use that. That is our Bible for ensuring that we're complying. So we also make sure that we're paying at least 80% of all family coverage and premiums and all kinds of supplemental health coverages, et cetera. So B Corp gives us that guideline for what do the best companies in the world do for their people. And that's the guideline that we follow. So in terms of does it attract people, certainly having a calling card and being able to share that when any, you know, client or employee is vetting our agency, which is usually happening, whether we know it's happening in front of us or not, it's usually happening behind the scenes. They're crawling all over the digital spaces. So if that it can be something that they find on their own, then our job when they come to our agency is that we better be living it. So that again is that expectation management and meeting those rising expectations. So there can't be any longer a gap between what an organization says it does and what it does. I think we've all experienced that, that gap sort of closing and the tolerance for the gap over the last certainly 5 to 10 years. And that's agencies and clients alike.
Yeah. And I think that's going to continue, right?
No question.
Have you had any situations where sort of employees have felt that, you know, you haven't delivered what the expectation is based on the certification and what you say you're committed to? Are there any of those moments of truth where you haven't been on the side you wanted to be on?
Well, I think because we have a really strong framework for what that side looks like, that's the starting point. What do we stand for? What are our values? What do we agree that we will do? How will we behave as a business? So we've all got a good common starting point. And then what happens is that we live and work in a really dynamic world. Things change. Things change on the outside. Mm-hmm. Clients make decisions about their businesses that had we known that that was a direction their business might go at the outset, we may not have felt that their mission or values were in alignment with our mission or values. So we're constantly being asked to just through the nature of how we work to continually evaluate whether or not we're meeting the standard that we're committed to. So it has led us to new policies. It has led us to kindly but clearly resigning a client in the last year. We certainly, it gives us guidance on what clients we will not work for. And I think that it creates this real opening to have conversation across our team so that everyone has a voice without judgment. And, you know, using this as sort of our guidepost, that makes sure that we're all coming back to this core and allows us to have really healthy, meaningful conversations and to make decisions that are just very, very conscious.
That's great. That sounds like, well, you just talked through so many best practices, actually, but I think, you know, agencies would be well served by really being very clear and articulating their values, their processes, and opening that employee dialogue. Because I think when we've seen in the media where there've been some employee activism incidents, even in agencies, it's often that there hasn't been dialogue about either what a client's doing or how we're responding, why we're doing something with a client. And boy, I think the days are over where you don't have to be fully transparent about all of that.
And I think that our experience, Kim, is that when we have clarity and understanding, we can work from that kind of benchmark or that baseline, let's say. And so being clear allows, I think, our employees and it allows our clients, our partners to choose kind of for or against. And we aren't going to be the absolute right fit, the right culture for every employee and every client. But I do believe that when you're clear, you will magnetize your people. That is the way it works. Mm-hmm. And so to not be clear does everyone a disservice. And it doesn't mean that because we're clear, we're righter than somebody else. We're righter than a different business or a different agency. But we're also not wrong. We're just clear. So that has been such a gift for me. And I think for every person on our team, personally and professionally, we do a lot of work around understanding communication styles and understanding, you know, the difference between clarity and judgment, between clarity and disrespect. Clarity is simply clarity. And we can all work from that as a common starting place.
That's a good lesson for everybody in our industry, right?
You know, we're professional. It's a good lesson for everybody.
Yeah, but sometimes we're not as clear as we need to be. So that's awesome. I wanted to just pick your brain a little bit on this. You've been such a strong advocate for women in our industry. There's such a strong She Quality group that meets and supports each other in Minneapolis and St. Paul. How do you think women are doing and what do you think needs to happen?
I think in terms of advocating for women in our industry, the first thing that I had to learn was to advocate for myself. And that was to really understand what it means to be a conscious leader who happens to be a woman. So, you know, I think it's that opportunity to be conscious and self-aware and intentional and clear about your position, the decisions you're making. I think that's always a starting point, because if we can have many people come together who are conscious leaders, who do understand that when we work collaboratively, when we work toward the best outcome for all our clients, our companies, our communities, whatever our focus may be on any given day, whether we're focusing on a client need or opportunity or focusing on our own business, is that when we all work from a place of being conscious and being intentional, we all rise. And I think that that's really the key for women and men working together in our industry, is to come together and understand that we all want to do better. We all want to do better for women in our industry. We certainly want to do better for people of color in our industry. We want to do better across geographic boundaries, across age boundaries, gender boundaries. And I think that's the starting point. If you're in a place individually where you aren't focused on doing better, I would really, really suggest that you spend some time examining what you stand for. And I'm not advocating that you must stand for one thing or another, but I am advocating for spending some time understanding your role in creating the change that we all know needs to happen.
That's great advice. All right, I'm going to ask you one more question and I'm going to let you go. Mm-hmm. If you weren't leading Beehive, what would you be doing?
That is really easy. I think really as a country, we've got to bridge the growing rural-urban divide. I think it's more clear to us than ever. All we have to do is just watch any, you know, county, city, state, federal election, and we can see that divide growing. So if I weren't building Beehive, I'd be building a scholarship foundation that would focus on providing young women from rural communities across the United States with free 4-year college education in exchange for work service back in their home communities. Because I really believe that educated, empowered women are the key to the future of our country.
That's awesome. Wow, Lisa, I want you to keep leading and growing Beehive, but I also want you to be able to do that.
I have a few irons in the fire, Kim. So.
I bet you do. All right. Well, that's awesome.
I'll look forward to moving on to that chapter at some point in the distant future. So.
All right. Well, Lisa, thank you so much. Boy, I learned so much. This was such a great discussion. Thank you very much.
My pleasure, Kim. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Agencies of the Future podcast by the PR Council. And special thank you to M Booth, our production partner. You can download our entire series on the PR Council website, prcouncil.net.